Well, we recognized that revenues were going to get a little tight, that our operating budget was going to be squeezed by our friends in Congress, and so we looked for ways in which we could avoid unnecessary layoffs and disruption in the services that people rely on at USDA. So challenged our team at USDA to look for ways that we could do a better job with the resources that we had. The employees stepped up with a number of suggestions and ideas focused on travel, space, vehicle maintenance, process improvement. Bottom line, $1.4 billion in savings has been realized, and we're not finished yet. We're still aggressively looking at ways in which we can be more efficient with the dollars we have, which has allowed us, when sequester hit and when the shutdown occurred, we didn't have to furlough folks and we didn't have to force layoff of employees, which would have been very disruptive. So a great job by the USDA team, but obviously still work to do.
Now, you mentioned that the employees stepped up by offering some ideas around travel, space, vehicle maintenance. Now, did you hold any kind of, if you will, contest or have an idea box? Several agencies have done that.
We had that. We had a little sort of a trophy that we circulated around for a while. It was one of those mobile helicopters, which my son had given to me for a Christmas present. I did something to the helicopter so that it would spin around on the ground, but it wouldn't fly. And I pointed out that that's essentially what we will end up having to do if we don't figure out how to do this better, is that we'll just continue to spin around instead of flying. So when somebody came up with a good idea, they got a chance to have that helicopter in their office for a while. Bottom line is people understood the importance of this. They understand their responsibility to taxpayers. They understand their responsibility to our constituents. And they knew that if we could have a webinar, if we could do a video conference, that we would save a significant amount of travel expense. They knew that if we took a look at our vehicle maintenance and didn't turn over our vehicles quite as frequently as we used to, we could still provide the service and save money. They knew that there were offices that probably could be consolidated. And they also knew that there were ways in which we could, in the different mission areas of USDA, collaborate on the purchasing of supplies and equipment that every single mission area has to purchase, but to do it in bulk to be able to get discount savings.
It's interesting that the helicopter idea is something, you know, so simple. It seemed to catch on. What are you doing in terms of to continue the program forward?
Well, we set goals, and I think the goal now is for us to try to identify $100 million of additional savings through strategic sourcing. In the past, what we were able to do is we were able, within a particular mission area, if they had several different agencies within that mission area, they would collaborate on purchases of IT. They would collaborate on purchases of paper or pencils or supplies. Now we're basically saying, let's collaborate throughout the entire USDA. Let's make sure our research people are collaborating with our Farm Service Agency people, who are collaborating with our rural development people in offices across the United States to do this bulk purchasing. And that's a way of identifying potential savings. Let's figure out a way in which we could work with other federal departments and other federal agencies on vehicles, for example. Could we work with GSA to essentially buy our vehicles at the same time they're buying vehicles, or the Defense Department, as a way of potentially increasing that bulk discount that we could obtain? So we're keeping a chart and keeping an account of the savings, and you know, the goal is to get to $100 million in the next year or so.
It's interesting when you say you're looking across entire USDA instead of just maybe within the specific operating division. Who's leading that effort? Is it coming from your deputy secretary, your chief acquisition officer, or whom?
Well, actually, it's coming from the secretary's office. I meet every other week with Chris Nelson, who's a career staff person from the Department of Management. And he basically brings me up to date on where we are in strategic sourcing, where we are on space utilization, where we are on shared services, centers of excellence. And he is he knows that he's reporting to me every 2 weeks, and the people that he works with on this initiative know that he's reporting to me every 2 weeks. So it is something that is operated out of the Department of Management, but it has secretarial oversight.
Do you think that's the biggest change from previous efficiency initiatives? I mean, if you think about all your predecessors, no matter they're Democrat or Republican, no matter which administration, everyone wants to be efficient. Nobody ever says, I'm going to be inefficient. But is that the difference here?
It may be that, but I think more importantly, I think it's a recognition on the part of the folks who work here at USDA that it's in their long-term best interest to do this. Because if we can avoid forced layoffs, if we can avoid furloughs, if we can avoid the disruption that occurs when you have to do that, then everyone wins. Everyone feels better about the job. Everyone feels better about the work that they're doing. So I think there was an understanding and appreciation that this wasn't just doing it for the sake of doing it, or just because it was the flavor of the month. This was an effort to try to really change the culture within USDA so that folks understood that it was in their best interest to do this. And folks have really gravitated to that notion, and we've coupled this with process improvement. We've said, look, there are probably things that we're asking you folks to do that you know are just not necessary to do. Can we save you time? Can we save you money? Can we save you grief and frustration by streamlining the processes? And if so, help us figure out what best to do, how best to do that. And people have been very willing to come up with very significant and very specific process improvement plans.
One thing when you talk about cost avoidance or cost savings, $1.4 billion, how much of this is true money that you can take that and put it into the mission? And how much of it is, hey, instead of spending a dollar a pencil, we're spending 50 cents a pencil, so that's the avoidance?
It's a substantial percentage of money that's saved, and it's reflected in the fact that our operating budget at USDA is less than it was when I became secretary. So we've essentially been able to expand our activities at USDA. Our workforce is a little bit smaller than it was when I came into office. So these savings that have been identified have allowed us to continue to do the work that is required to be done without actually going back and saying we now have to do less. We're actually doing more with less because we've been smart about how we've used our resources.
When you look back over the last 3 years at the initiative, anything that jumped out to you as surprising, or anything that jumped out to you as you had maybe measured hope on certain areas, but that the employees were able to overcome or beat out what you thought would happen?
The first thing I would point out, too, is the employees' acceptance of the travel savings. You know, everybody likes to take a trip to a conference, and everyone likes to work with their colleagues in other parts of the agency or other parts of the whatever industry or portfolio you have. But folks realize that they could still do that, still have that communication, that connection, without necessarily always traveling to a particular location, thereby saving resources and money. The willingness on the part of employees to see the benefit of that, I think, is surprising, and I think it speaks well for the folks at USDA. Again, I think the willingness of folks to embrace this and come up with ideas, we have a very imaginative bunch over here, and we just have to continue to express confidence and faith in their ability to get the job done. And if we give them a goal, give them enough flexibility to get the goal done, they'll figure out a way to do it. Those are several of the lessons, and we've been able to impart those lessons to the rest of the federal government. The president's been very focused on management efficiencies. He had a cabinet meeting where we were able to make a presentation on what USDA was doing, and a number of agencies are following up on what we're doing, and we've now created a communication where we can learn from them as well.
And that actually was my next question about when other agencies will hear you talking about this and say, well, USDA is different, or that's not us. What are some of the, if you will, we'll call them best practices that emerge from this, from your perspective, from at the very top, to say, this is how we can get this done to be more efficient, put more money from, if you will, operations into mission?
Well, you identified, I think, one of the most important aspects of this, which I think has now been embraced by the president's cabinet and the president, which is that it has to come from the top. There has to be some acknowledgement and recognition and buy-in by the folks at the top, and a communication to folks throughout a department that the secretary, the president, is in fact personally vested in this. This is not something that's been delegated. It's not something that's been in a memo or a directive that everyone's expected to follow up on with no additional follow-up by the person at the top. This has to be something that the secretaries take personally and are engaged in personally. In terms of what works, clearly pointing out to folks that everybody buys gasoline, everybody buys paper, everybody buys toilet paper, everybody buys certain supplies. And to the extent that you can identify contract opportunities where all of that can be done at the same time, it's not easy. It does require some flexibility on the part of folks, but if people will be willing to be open to that idea, then there's a tremendous amount of savings that can occur. And this is also, I think, sparking a sense of creativity in the workforce, which I think is sometimes we're challenged. As leaders, we need to make sure people understand that we trust their creativity. We encourage it. We empower them. And basically saying, here's the problem, help us solve it. You're essentially saying, I've got the trust and faith in you that you can come up with a creative solution here that's not going to result in declining service or doing things in a less timely way. You're actually going to figure out how to do more with less. You're going to figure out how to do a better job with less, a more timely job with less, and have confidence that people can actually get it done, and they are.
It's interesting you bring up the empowerment of the workforce, that give the workforce the ability to be innovative. One thing every agency struggles with is that morale issue. USDA, I'm sure, is no different than many others. How have you seen this effort, this savings effort, really translate into better morale?
Look, there's no question that we continue to be challenged on the morale side, because for several reasons. One, because we're a department, frankly, that's pretty spread out. And so what's coming from Washington, D.C., sometimes the folks that are in the 4,000 offices that are located outside of Washington, D.C., we have to make sure that they feel connected to all of this. And that's a challenge for us. But we've seen an improvement in morale. Still a ways to go. But one of the things is to say, look, it isn't just about savings. It's also about your career, and we give people an opportunity to tell us what their career path is. We ask them, where do you see yourself 3 or 4 or 5 years from now? How can we help you get to that point? How can we create, through AgLearn, opportunities on additional learning, continuing education that will allow you to get the credentialing that you need to take that next step in your career? So we have professional development requirements. We have career development requirements. We're making a concerted effort to make sure that we understand the importance of work balance, work-life balance, to the extent that we can encourage the 32% of our workforce that can telework. We want them to obviously take advantage of that opportunity if it works for them. So there are ways in which you can convey confidence in and belief in and a sort of a can-do and empowering notion in the workforce, which I think makes a significant difference in terms of their willingness to embrace what can be a difficult process, but it also can be a fun and creative one.